Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Oh, such a clutch offseason pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Believe it or not,
Jason
isn't at home. Please leave a message at the beep.
I must be out or I pick up the phone.
Where could I be? Believe it or not, I'm not home.
Hi, Jason. This is Matt Spiegel. I host a radio show called Hit and Run. You're supposed to be on right now. I'm here with somebody else.
Hey, wake up. Where are you?
I think he's sleeping. He did Korean baseball in the morning, and I understand. He's busy. He's frazzled. We really just wanted to call to say it's okay.
Okay, try it again. Try it again.
Here's the list of things that I've been watching recently, and you can make a judgment on how highbrow or lowbrow I am. I've been rewatching Wings from the 90s.
Oh.
The airport show in Nantucket. The scene where Tony Shalhoub is learning to play the guitar, and he's humming. And then he starts singing.
My goat knows the bowling score.
And they're like, no, no, Antonio, that's not it.
Hit and Run with Matt Spiegel, Sunday mornings on The Score.
You know, undiscussed in that conversation, and really any time since in all my dealings with Jason Benetti, is why would the GOAT want to know the bowling score? I mean, what interest does the GOAT have in the bowling score? Is he following along? Is he a big fan? Does he bowl himself? I have questions, Jason.
The GOAT wants to know the bowling score because he's curious and he's interested in the world and likes data.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we like the GOAT and we want the GOAT to be on our planet.
The GOAT is pro-information. He's pro-data.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that makes all the sense in the world. He is the voice of the Chicago White Sox. Should they play some games this year, you will hear this man and see this man on the television. Jason, good morning, and thank you for both waking up and the wonderful picture you sent as evidence of the alarm that was set for 10:52 this morning. That's quick turnaround. So I've got, let's see, it's 11:02. I've got 10 minutes of awake time here from Jason Benetti. You should be perky, and this is top-notch Benetti I'm getting right here, I think.
Do I sound perky? Well, here's what I like about this segment already. You went comment before introduction. It was like the cold open to the interview.
Yes, yes.
I like that.
Well, I mean, let's not pretend that we're not in touch and just in the middle of a long conversation. That's actually my favorite thing. Dave Miska once said that about Les Grobstein. It's my favorite description maybe of anybody ever. Dave thinks he's been in the same conversation with Les Grobstein for 25 years. Just every time he sees him, Lester just picks it up exactly where he left off, which is the perfect way to describe those interactions, I think.
Well, it'll be different, though, starting now, because the conversation won't go as long, because in the 10th you get a runner at second.
Yeah. Well, that's a perfect segue. What do we? No, it's not a perfect segue. What has your involvement been so far with a couple of days of workouts? I must admit, I have not seen a picture of you and Stoney over at the ballpark. I did see Len and JD over there, but they've got a big old network that they're trying to do as well. Have you been by there yet, Jason?
I have not. I'm going to go ahead and wait until I'm needed over there, simply because any more time in the ballpark is time where that's an extra person in the ballpark. I mean, I would be happy to go watch the workouts. If we were doing shows, I'd be there to do it. But, you know, and just in the name of safety, being in and alone when I'm not necessary and not essential, it seems like the right thing to do. I've been on a bunch of Zoom calls with players and with Ricky Renteria, and media availabilities and things like that. So I'm not sleeping through everything in life right now. But look, there's a little bit of I would love to be over there, and if it were a different time, like spring training, I'm over at the complex every day and talking to players and all that. But right now, it just doesn't seem like the right thing to do to me.
Yeah, it's a very personal thing. I got to say, when we were talking yesterday, Bruce and I, and he was talking about the atmosphere at the ballparks and the limited number, I have envy. I would like to be there, and I think I would probably jump at the opportunity to do so, and I'll probably get it. But it's like, it's a very personal thing, and it's weird to even have to think about. And of course, you are dependent on everybody else's level of care and level of attention and the precautions of organizations and the science that we know about the thing. I never wanted to be an amateur epidemiologist, Jason. Mm-hmm. I never checked that box, and yet here we are.
Yeah, well, here we are. Here we are. The other component is, you know, I have to be. I have a TV crew to be responsible for. I still don't know exactly how many people are going to be in our booth or what the setup's going to be for me and Stoney. Mm. But Stoney is twice my age, and I have to be responsible for him, and he has to be responsible for me. And so, the fewer people we see up until that first game we do, I think it's really important, and that's nothing against anybody else in the world, right? It's just simply, you don't know if you have it if you haven't been tested, because asymptomatic people can carry it. That's it. Like, that's the end of the line. It's nothing against anybody or any public place or whatever it might be. I just, if I have the ability to not be around people, I'm going to do it.
Yeah, no, it's understandable, and that's why when people opt out, it's a hell of a pitching staff for the all opt out team. Start with David Price, then you go to Mike Leake, and then the Ross brothers. You could piggyback them, I suppose, in a game if you wanted to. I joke about that. I would never joke about the all virus team, and I probably shouldn't be joking about the all opt out team, but I can't help myself because it's a dark and bleak time. You know, it's so weird, because I think the answer still is one team being unable to field a competitive roster. I think that's still, like, the numbers could grow, the importance of the players. I mean, does it get much bigger than Freddie Freeman, the best player on a big market contender who's absolutely in go-for-it mode? I don't know. I mean, obviously, there are bigger names, but I don't know that it gets much bigger than that kind of player. So I feel like it's still one team unable to do it or unwilling to do it.
Well, yeah, and that's where the context is really important. And you and Len were joking around about me sleeping through the alarm last week because of Korean baseball, but that's what I do on the weekends, is I do KBO games. And I was talking to our KBO insider, this guy Daniel Kim, who's phenomenal, great reporter. And it still is with the KBO. If you have a positive test, they're shutting down the league. One positive test. And there are some people out here celebrating 1.2% of the intake, whatever that was, recently. Like, this is a serious illness that this virus can create. And so we are playing in a different arena than they are over in South Korea. One positive test there, the whole thing's shutting down. We have assumed more risk in the United States for our athletes simply because, you know, South Korea's got like 50 cases in a day and they consider that a spike. Here, you know, you get thousands of cases in one state and everybody's like, well, maybe we can still play. I'm not saying one or the other, but I am saying that our response to this federally has been so bad that we leave a bunch of people with the decisions that come from the trickle down of mistakes.
Yeah. Yeah. The kind of decisions that you and I are debating about whether to go someplace or not based on work. You know, those kind of decisions are just, they're massive. And now the very wearing of a mask itself is being talked about as a decision or some kind of political football. It's inescapable to talk about it on that level because science and facts have turned into that. And you end up having no choice but to point that out if you're having a rational conversation about it. Why do you suppose in the Korean culture it worked so well? And obviously, the consistency of the federal response is one thing. Is it also just a culture of obedience, or was there any other messaging that was effective that we can wish that we had had?
You know, it just seems like there's more of a unity over there of thought. And sometimes it's good. Sometimes it's but like we can. Right. It's another one of those issues where your philosophy on life pervades the way you're going to see a sporting situation. So we could have a town hall about this and it would last 5 hours. So there's no real answer. I mean, people can be mad or they can be glad that baseball's back or whatever it might be, or say, well, you know, there's going to be risk and we just have to live with it. My response would be we didn't necessarily have to live with it because other countries aren't living with it in the same way that we are. And that's just absolutely factual. But then, you know, as we talk about baseball, I do think we have to be allowed to talk about baseball discourse wise. And that's not to say that we have to be callous about it, right? These are people getting COVID-19, not the star, whatever position it is, right? They're people getting this. And as we saw from Freddie Freeman's wife's post, it can very deeply affect the family. However, you know, if we are going to have a season, and it looks like at this point we're going to have a season, we do have to talk about things like, hey, competitively, if a bunch of people get COVID-19, what does that do, number one, to the schedule, but number two, to their chances of winning ball games? I mean, you take Freddie Freeman out, that's a huge bat that's out of the lineup. And so I know there are going to be people out there who say, well, it's callous to talk about this in baseball terms when somebody has a severe virus like that. If we're going to have a season, we do have to be allowed to talk in baseball terms as well, because there are going to be people who disappear from the lineup, and that's going to affect the fortunes of the season. So I do think that needs to be able to be sanctioned in the public discourse, too.
Yeah, I find myself wondering, A, how much roster turnover we might see. If we indeed played 60 games, would we see one team use 60 people, 50, you know, all 50 people, everybody that's there? Would they do that and cycle through? And what's the highest number we've ever had for a team? Like, I find myself with those kind of questions because I'm trying to give some sort of context. Speaking of that, a caller asked me earlier how we would look back on this in 10 years. If we get 60 games in and we get a full postseason and a World Series, obviously the playoff pool will not be looked at as legitimate, and it shouldn't. But who emerges from the playoff pool has always been a different test than who makes the playoff pool. So there's got to be a way to contextualize that. If it is a team that we think might have made the playoff pool anyway, I think it's going to feel pretty damn legitimate if they're a World Series champion. Am I crazy?
No, it depends on what you think, right? I mean, it depends on how you see the game of baseball. And it is, yes, it is callous to say, well, you know, some teams are better equipped for this because they have more resolve, whatever, like that. That's not true. But I do think the teams, if we're talking, like a year ago, when I would go into a college football town and talk to a team or a player who was dealing with some sort of mini crisis, it was like, well, we turned off social media and we focused. Like, I had Penn State after their first loss last year, and it was like, we turned off social media, we're locked in, et cetera, et cetera. okay, those are things that we talked about that are superficial in a team environment. Now, we're literally talking about the health and safety of the people around you and their family. And so if you can't for 60 days not go out to eat, not break the protocols, all this stuff, and you have a positive test that comes from some slightly to moderately reckless behavior, mm-hmm. that's going to say something about you as a team, whether it should or not. But now, you know, we used to talk about, oh, we're off Twitter for the last week, or Carlos Santana, you know, we joked for the last couple of years about Santana walking into the clubhouse with a bat because he was sick of so much Fortnite being played. Well, this is that on absolute volcanic steroids. Because if you don't trust your teammates, you are going to be insecure to unhealthy by the end of the season about the environment that you're in.
Man, that's so true. That's so true. Talking about trusting the teammate and really believing they have your back and believing that you share the same kind of focus and the same kind of moral compass within the competitive structure has just been expanded to insane levels. And the fact that a manager's job now, and Ricky Renteria has stepped up and discussed this, a manager's job includes making sure his guys enforce the protocols and stay separate. That White Sox clubhouse, Jason, I was so struck by it, even just one day at Camelback in March. These guys, so ebullient, so warm with each other across different levels and portions of the clubhouse, that is a really close-knit, excitable group, and it's going to be a challenge that Ricky will have to help them master in dealing with these protocols.
And every manager across the country who's not an epidemiologist is going to be in charge of making sure that people understand this and have information. And like, this is the really interesting intersection of baseball, because baseball does lean right, in my experience, in terms of political ideology. And like, you can say it's not that big of a threat, or it's a hoax, or whatever you want to say about COVID-19, until you take a test that says you're positive, and then you can't play the game you love. So at that point, the conspiratorial thinking really pretty much has to go away, because science said you have this thing and you're probably going to get some symptoms of it. So I'm just really interested in the way that it shapes thought in a baseball clubhouse this year. Because, again, there are going to be some people who get this who didn't really believe that it was as much of a threat as it actually is, or it was specifically to them because they got it, right? So I really wonder what those clubhouses are going to be like in terms of curiosity and in terms of people saying, well, you know, I know there are going to be people in baseball who show up to the clubhouse on day one and they're like laughing and joking and they think it's ridiculous that they have to wear a mask. Yeah. If that specific person gets COVID-19, which nobody is wishing on anybody, I just wonder what the calculus is like for that person and for the friends who think that way about COVID-19.
Yeah, it's ridiculous that we are here on July 5th still having those kind of conversations. It was March when Rudy Gobert one day touched every recorder on the media table and trying to flaunt his lack of belief, and then tested positive, what, the next day, 2 days later? I mean, that's March, and yet here we are, and you're absolutely right. My fear is, Jason, that like a flow chart, the people who are demeaning the reality of the virus will move down to demeaning the reality of what it can do to the young and healthy, and then moving down to the reality of what it can do to the elderly. Like, they'll just keep finding a new branch of that river to demean. You know what I mean? That's my fear.
Yeah. Well, and that's why, you know, it's so hard to talk about this in terms that are cross-sectional, because there's just so much of a difference of opinion. And that's why when you say, how will we see the champion? Will the champion be legitimate after this year? I bet you I could put a basket of people together from the South that are going to see it totally different than people from the Midwest and then the West Coast and the East Coast. I mean, there's just no unity in terms of thought. And that's the difference between the U.S. right now and South Korea. And that rugged individualism gets to a lot of things in the United States. It gets inventiveness and it gets wealth and all of that. But in the case of an emergency, like a serious crisis, it ends up with poorer numbers than other countries. And that's just a fact. Like, I know it sticks to sports for some people.
It is sports.
When I'm watching, when I'm watching Korean baseball from my living room and calling it from my living room, and they have one positive test via shutdown situation, and when in the United States we have 1.2% of intake, and we're celebrating that because it's lower than the 7% positivity rate in the NBA bubble, we're playing by different rules.
Yeah. I said earlier this morning that we as a nation are looked at globally. We're kind of like the Mark Trestman Bears, but just a little more deadly. You know, it's like that 3 week period when the Bears gave up a 50 burger to the Patriots and then had a bye and then 50 more to Green Bay. And we were a national embarrassment and it enabled change. That's kind of where we are as a country. All right, Jason, I'm going to make the very natural segue now to comparing ball players to absolutely anything in our culture. I think it's a very natural and obvious segue to something that you and I have been enjoying and doing called Good Comp, Bad Comp. Where scouts' focus has been too narrow, and we are helping them broaden the scope. And I think we've helped them realize that Rickey Henderson is more like Prince than he is any other ball player, more like the singer Prince. I think we've helped them understand that Bartolo Colon is more like the McDonald's Shamrock Shake than he is any other pitcher in the history of the game. I feel like we've performed a service so far. Do you?
We continue to perform a service on a weekly basis, and I'm here's where my mind lies on this is that you end up comparing things that are just so easy to compare that it hems you in mentally. It's not fun in any way, shape, or form. But when you can compare a player to a Russian shovel. Or I can compare Mike Trout to The Big Lebowski, one of the greatest movies of all time. The fun part is you can find facts that you did not know. As we research these things, there's always one or two things about a player that I know pretty well that I had no idea. I did not know Mike Trout bowled a 300 in high school and like ran to the phone to call his mom and say, I bowled a 300. I just love that. It's so earnest by Mike Trout, right?
Yes, yes. It is lovely. And as you pointed out in the bit, his parents are his business managers. He's like, who else am I going to trust? These are my guys. Come on, help me out here. I love that.
Yeah, I mean, this week the comps of Mike Trout to either Steve Martin or The Big Lebowski. This is the toughest one yet, I think. Yeah. And I think it's going to be the closest vote yet because they're both, I think, really solid comparisons. Mine is obviously better, and I've been listening to. The first edition just dropped in to see what condition my condition is in since we did the comparison. It's just on loop in my brain. But yeah, it's been grand fun. And your nephew, Jack McMullen, who's a recent graduate of Syracuse, has done a wonderful job editing. Now, like, so we've got the two boxes of us, and then there's a third box which has pictures that Jack puts in, or standings, or whatever it might be. Yeah. Now the box has a mind of its own and is making fun of you for looking the wrong direction at my box.
That was the best. Because on my screen, it looked like you were on my left, so I point at you, and then on the finished product, you're on your right, and you just have the box say, wrong way, Matt. I mean, is that not 2020 that a Zoom box has developed a mind of its own and is an active participant in the bit?
And not only a mind of its own, but it's salty. Right? Like, even the Zoom box hates life. And it's throwing barbs at people, right? Like, the Zoom box is like a Karen bit.
Hey, simmer down, Zoombox. All right?
Yeah.
You put it back in your pants, Zoombox. All right, Jay. let that be the quote that ends the conversation. Jason, you're the best. Thank you, man. Appreciate it. Go back to sleep.
Can I just update you before I go on what I'm watching? I am in season 5 of Perfect Strangers. So if you can, for next time, just have Balky saying, "Don't be ridiculous," or something when I come on, that would be great.
Yeah, all right. We're on it. Sean, were you listening? If we haven't lost Sean, I'm sure it'll be taken care of. Thank you, Jason.
Of course not. Don't be ridiculous.
You're the best. That's Jason Benetti. Let's take a break and come back, and I want you to hear Mike Trout's comparisons in good comp, bad comp. We'll do that next on 670 The Score.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for Blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
I feel
like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken care of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Has a team ever just given up and said we quit?
Well, how would you feel about that if your teammates?
We hope our audience
together
has not got to that point.
No.
Look at this defense.
Center field from Trout. Garcia's not going to have a play. And
oh,
Mike Trout goes deep.
That's Trout.
It is.
Swimming upstream, avoiding all the flies, and sending one ricocheting through the universe.
The steampunk version of Pomp and Circumstance is the theme music for Good Comp, Bad Comp, an intellectually invigorating exercise in which Jason Benetti and I compare a ball player to absolutely anything. They can all be found on YouTube at Good Comp, Bad Comp. I just tweeted the link a matter of moments ago, and they're also available on my website at mattspiegel.com. Here is Jason and I comparing Mike Trout, the undisputed best player in baseball... Undisputed best player in baseball to absolutely anything. I get to go first.
Mike Trout is almost exactly like the brilliant comedian, actor, author, filmmaker, and musician Steve Martin. In his late 20s, Mike Trout is at the peak of his profession, the biggest star in the game. In his late 20s, Steve Martin was at the peak of his profession, the biggest stand-up comedian in the world. Excuse me, he was a wild and crazy guy and filled arenas by age 28. If he were to quit today, Mike Trout is already one of the greatest ballplayers of all time. He has a higher career wins above replacement than more than 70% of the players in the Hall of Fame. Martin quit stand-up in 1981 and was still voted number 6 all time in a Comedy Central poll of stand-up comedians based on that era of his life alone. Trout can do everything on the field, keeps getting better, worked diligently to improve his routes in the outfield, and is now one of the game's very best. Even at his peak, Steve Martin worked diligently to become a leading man, a comedic star of brilliant films like The Jerk, directed by the late, great Carl Reiner, and eventually a leading dramatic man, The Spanish Prisoner. Come on, brilliant. Trout is the best at every skill there is in the game, just keeps adding to the repertoire and resume. Steve Martin's life in the entertainment game expanded to see him become a highly skilled magician, a writer of novels, a memoir, stage plays, and an excellent bluegrass musician on both banjo and piano. Who knows what Mike Trout's future holds? He's already Mike Trout. In the future, he might become a bullpen specialist that plays into his 40s. You know he's going to be eventually the long drive champion in golf. Maybe he's Mike Trout, tattoo ink master. Maybe he's going to win the Great British Baking Show. We don't know. But you do know that Trout's hair will one day turn a spectacular, consistent, dashing shade of white.
Man, the phone books are here. This is tough. That hurts. Man, that's real good. And that's why, like, you know, what is this? This booze day on Good Cop, Bad Cop?
Nobody told you? I meant to tell you.
Hang on.
I hinted at it.
Here's the thing. When you're not traveling and you're used to traveling a lot, you got to do something with a little airplane bourbons. So we got a little airplane bourbon for you, just in case, here on Good Cop, Bad Cop.
At least you're covered.
You're not supposed to take these with the cap on anymore. That's like, this is like illicit stuff.
They don't tell Jason Benetti what to do. Nobody does.
They do now. They tell me stay home. Here we go. Mike Trout is very similar to the Big Lebowski.
Ooh.
The Coen Brothers classic, the Big Lebowski. We know the dude abides. Mike Trout is the dude, and Major League Baseball abides by him. Big Lebowski is set in Los Angeles. Mike Trout plays near Los Angeles. If you read the first reviews of The Big Lebowski, it was critically undersold at first. Mike Trout was drafted late first round, and he's just the best now, and people somewhat don't want to admit it. Mookie Betts or Mike Trout? Come on. I love Mookie Betts, but Mike Trout's the best player. Family production, Big Lebowski, Coen Brothers. Mike Trout's business managers are his parents. He is a family production. The dude is loosely based on a friend of a friend of the Coen Brothers from their softball league. Mike Trout plays baseball.
That checks out. That checks out, by the way.
Thank you. What an analogy. Mike Trout loves the Eagles. Loves the Eagles, the Philadelphia Eagles. He is a huge fan. In The Big Lebowski, there are very strong feelings about the Eagles. Not love, but as strong of feelings. Big Lebowski is all about bowling, set in a bowling alley, but it's a truly thoughtful movie. Like, just sort of blue-collar, but very thoughtful. Mike Trout's the same way. And with bowling being the setting, you need to know that Mike Trout once bowled a 300 in high school and called his mom and was like, guess what happened, mom? And she kind of freaked out. And he was like, I bowled a 300. Mike Trout is a great bowler. The Big Lebowski is all about bowling. The dude abides, and so should you.
That is Good Comp, Bad Comp. And you can vote on it at my Twitter feed, at MattSpiegel670. Who got it more correct? I nailed it with Steve Martin, man. I'm sorry. Absolutely nailed it. The comp that closes it is that Trout is one of the best all-time already at age 28. And Martin quit. I think he was, born in 45. And now he quit in 81. So he was, 35 or 36 when he quit stand-up, but he was like 30 and was already one of the greatest of all time. It is one of the more remarkable careers in entertainment ever, is Steve Martin. 670 The Score is where you are. If you are late joining us in the sports universe, you will know that the White Sox, you should know that the White Sox issued a statement saying that two players had tested positive for COVID-19. and that is, it's a very unfortunate. These players are choosing to remain anonymous. The White Sox are adhering to all MLB health and safety protocols, and they do not need to announce themselves, nor are they going to. I'm sure there'll be rampant speculation based on who is not on the field. I don't think one of them is not Michael Kopech. He's not there for a different situation. And it's difficult and awkward to think about Michael Kopech's situation. I wish him the best. We don't know what it is. It's just personal. And I know he's just shared so much in the past. He's shared so much in the past about what he has gone through mentally and what he has gone through with anxiety. And I don't know about you guys, but I know a lot of people who have those kind of issues, and they've been exacerbated by this pandemic. It's very difficult. I know musicians who are starting to play very small, socially distant gigs. And I know other musicians who are absolutely terrified of doing anything like it and don't want to go out. And they're completely entitled to it. And some bands will never get back together. And it's just what it is. It's a sad and awkward moment in our history. And we'll all remember living through it, assuming we do. Hey, good vibes, babe. Good vibes. All right, here's what I can do for you for good vibes. First of all, get the Eloy crack of the bat ready and the Javier Baez crack of the bat ready. Please have those ready for me. Thank you, Sean Anderson. And then Eloy with his verbal excitement level about being back with his people. Please have all those things ready. You let me know when they are. As I tell you that Chris Kempka is going to join us next. And he was once described by Jason Benetti, I believe, as a smile wrapped inside a rainbow inside a brain or something to that effect. So please, as you get ready for Chris Kempka, hear Javier Baez cracking a double, somebody calling 2-2-2, which may be a defensive player telling an outfielder where to throw the ball. And then you'll hear Eloy Jimenez taking some batting practice, and then you'll hear Eloy talking about his teammates. Then we break, and then it's Chris Kempka on Hit and Run.
Feel great, you know. I'm happy to be back in Chicago. Happy to be back with my boys, and feel like this. What happened around with all of this? We with the pandemic, we are still like happy, you know. Like go out, work out, smile, and just work out hard, you know. Like, go out and feel that is really good for me.
It's time to get ourselves Chris Kem connected right here on 670 The Score. He is the Sultan of Stat from NBC Sports Chicago. And a guy I love talking about baseball with just about more than anybody. Boy, this is a fun show today. This is what you do. This is what you do when you're not going to be getting access to players or managers or stuff because everything's kind of on lockdown and they're all going to do Zoom pretty much. That's going to be the drill for a while here during summer camp. So you talk to some of your favorite people that you like to talk about the game with, be it Jason Benetti or Lynn Bramer or now Chris Kempka. Good morning, sir. How are you?
And how about tying the room together?
Yeah.
I think the last time I was on, or maybe at least a couple weeks ago, I followed up Bronson Arroyo.
Yep.
And here's Benetti throwing out a Bronson Pinchot line with Valky's Don't Be Ridiculous.
Yes, so. He is. And Benetti setting you up with the Big Lebowski and then having the audacity to try to tie the whole room together himself when that is your gig, like a nice area rug, sir.
Yeah, so I went back and I took a look at the last two good comp, bad comps, right? So
okay.
We'll go back to Old Hoss Radburn first. So you went with the Russian shovel, and I don't remember the name of it. And Benetti
it was the JCS 534S agricultural loader and shovel.
Right, yeah. And Benetti went with Mass. And quick and easy here, it has to be Benetti because, unlike the Russian shovel, I actually have heard of MASH. And I've definitely heard of old Haas Radford. So, and I'm going to offer my own comps for each of these, too, this week. It's easy for me to criticize. I should step up and come up with my own. So my comp for old Haas Radford, to me, is like the WWE career of Stone Cold Steve Austin. All right? It was a very brief, considering how long these wrestling careers are, it's a pretty brief in-ring career. And he burned out pretty early due to injuries. And Radburn the same. I mean, he had that big year where he won 60 games, but he kind of, you know, with troubles, and understandably so with how much use his arm had, he burned out easily. And both men were they gave the middle finger, let's put it that way. Yeah. Austin was known for that. Radburn was one of the first known ball players to give the finger in pictures. There's some old pictures where he's kind of like sneaking it in behind. So that's one of his, that's part of his legacy. He's probably not the best cop, but hey, I'm at least trying.
Yeah, now you are trying. Then what do you got for Trout? Because Mike Trout is the best in the game at the age of 28.
All right, so yeah. So you had Steve Martin, but Eddie had the Big Lebowski. Now, I'm gonna agree with you on this one here. Point Spiegel, Steve Martin, maybe his career peaked before my time, but you definitely gave a good argument for it. Now, why I'm not going to side with the Big Lebowski, because unlike Mike Trout, the Big Lebowski is overrated. In my opinion.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
So I'm going to go with Steve Martin on that. So one apiece. And so my comp for Trout is, now this is not going to be popular on here, I'm going to say the Green Bay Packers. The Green Bay Packers are a historically great team. Trout's a historically great player. Trout was drafted late because he came from cold weather New Jersey, and the scouts don't like to go to the colder weather places. Green Bay, cold. The Packers are good for about 9-10 wins per year, and so is Mike Trout. 9 or 10 wins above replacement.
That's awesome. And I'll add to that, that in the earliest stages of the Super Bowl era, there was no disputing who the greatest team in the NFL was. I mean, they won the first two, and they rolled through the 60s before that. So it just like Trout hitting the league with a head of steam.
Boom. There you go. So yes. Mike Trout, Green Bay Packers.
This is why I'm the comper. You know, you're the stat diver and digger and anniversary reminder, and I'm the elite comper here. Although I got to say, the Packers for Mike Trout is pretty damn good.
By the way, speaking of Bears, 22 years ago today, Mike Ditka sang the seventh inning stretch at Wrigley Field, and why this is notable is 22 years ago today, and it took him 22 seconds to sing it. Because he's out of breath and he was in a rush to get there. So.
Yeah, I believe he was at a golf outing of some kind and then caught in hellacious traffic on 90-94 to get to Wrigley in time. And this is pre-elevator days, certainly pre-elevator by the press box level days. And he had to basically sprint up the ramps. We have the sound of Mike Ditka singing Take Me Out to the Ball Game 22 years ago today.
A one and a two. And a three, take me out to the ball game. Take me out with the crowd. Bobby's happy that I grabbed your jacks. I don't care if I ever get back. I will run up for the whole team. If they don't win, it's a shame. One, two, three strikes, you're out of the old ball game.
Look, hey, Chris, that is not just a man hustling to get through it and being out of breath. That is a man with absolutely no sense of melody or rhythm or musical timing or, I believe, any kind of art at all. Like, I don't think Ditka knows anything about anything in that entire realm, and he was out of breath.
Well, I've hustled up those ramps myself, and quite honestly, I can relate to Ditka there. I feel bad for him. It's a long way up there.
Yeah.
The only thing I would say about that is he went root for the home team, and I'm surprised the Wrigley crowd wasn't a little more upset with that.
Yes. Everybody was just too flummoxed by the horrendous, rushed, and incredibly memorable nature of ball game. I love that you brought me there. Thank you for that. That is a baseball moment. Nice to hear some bat cracks at the ballpark the past couple of days and today. I don't know if we'll get more, but nice to hear it. I wish they had been playing yesterday on the 4th of July, Chris. I wish they had gotten their labor act together and we were living through the first couple of days of a limited regular season.
Oh, yeah. Tell me about it. I mean, the 4th of July is probably, most likely, White Sox and Cubs have played more games on that date than any other in their franchise history. Now, I haven't thrown out the entire list, but for perspective, consider this. For the White Sox, they have played 110 games all-time on July 3rd. They played 114 games all-time on July 5th, and 180 games in 120 seasons on July 4th because of all the doubleheaders. They played 62 doubleheaders on July 4th all-time. Now, as for the Cubs, 117 games on July 3rd, 133 games on July 5th, and 223 games, including 83 doubleheaders on July 4th.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Texters, by the way, really enjoying the Ditka and remembering that game. One guy says he's right that the Cubs were down 5-0 in the 7th in that game and then came back to win it 6-5 against the Pirates. So the Ditka, take me out of the ballgame, is an excellent harbinger of late inning success. And that poor accompanist Gary Pressey fighting for his life trying to carry on the organ there, Chris Kampka.
Yeah, he was holding that one note as long as he possibly could, and Steve Stone saying, "Hey, we're sorry, but we're gonna have to sing," and then all of a sudden, "Oh, here he comes." So
yeah.
That was a fine moment.
Absolutely. Anything else to tie the room together, sir? I love your work, I love your mind.
Well, I mean, you brought in Jason Benetti with the George Costanza answering machine from Seinfeld.
Yeah.
And Seinfeld premiered this day in 1989, as it happened.
Wow. Really? Man,
yes.
He got in.
Good luck.
He got in when the getting was good. And, whew. Boy, I would urge people, if you're looking for a healthy conversation and you like the entertainment realm, to listen to Seinfeld and Mark Maron on WTF from a couple weeks ago, because it's just a conversation about the inner workings of comedy and two very different comics styles as they approach it. It's pretty cool stuff. This day in 1989, that's outstanding. Thank you, Chris. You're the best.
You got it.
You are the best. Thanks, man. Have a great day.
Yeah, you too.
He's Chris Kampka. Sultan of Stat from NBC Sports Chicago. Want to update you on a couple of things before we get out of here. Mark Grody's coming up next right after 12. Russ Dorsey of the Sun-Times, brand new Sun-Times Cubs beat writer Russell Dorsey, is going to join Mark Grody today along with Arthur Arkish. And you can hear that coming up just after me, Spiegel. A couple things of note there. Sean Doolittle, whose wife is at high risk and they've been an issue, says he's upset. They still don't have the PPE gear that players are supposed to have. Andrew Miller, the lefty reliever of the Indians, still thinks there's doubt about whether there's going to be a season. By no way is it a slam dunk. And then an unbelievable photo of a man we've discussed a lot today, Mike Trout, the best player in the game, who is committed to trying to play and keep himself and his family healthy. Boy, that picture of him running the bases, about to round second base, it appears, while wearing a mask. That is one of the more indelible issues of this moment in baseball history, and it may be a brief one. We'll see. Folks, thanks for being here. Really enjoyed doing the show for you today. Thank you to Sean Anderson for a great job, as always. Thank you to Lynn Bramer, Jason Benetti, and Chris Kampka. Stay safe, everyone, and enjoy your day. And I'll be in tomorrow and all week long with Danny Parkins. If you're a Spiegel and Parkins guy, you'll get us 2-6 on 670 The Score. Have a great day.
happy to be back in Chicago. Happy to be back with my boys.
Hi, Mom.
Hi, LA. Hi, Mom.
This is for you.
Let's go. Let's go. Let's get out of here.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
I
feel like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken care of.
It took forever. And the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.